Welcome to the podcast we call Soul Chaser, featuring stories from the book by the same name, Soul Chaser. This is Jordan Rich, and by my side is author Lauren Decker. We want to spend time with you today at soul level, awakening our spirits to the simple and beautiful idea that God is love and love is everywhere.
I saw this once before, a picture in my mind, colors in the air.
Today's installment of Soul Chaser.
Many new listeners from all over the globe. That's what we like, and you're who we like. Wherever you happen to be tuning in, we welcome you if you're in the Philippines or in Vietnam. Many new listeners in that region, so thank you. I am Lauren Decker, and this is Soul Chaser, the podcast. Our 54th edition. So welcome aboard. Our story today is about a friend of mine. His name is Chris. His name is Chris, and he is a friend of mine. Chris is an ex-con, having served time in the county jail. I've known him since he was 12. It's not like we couldn't see trouble coming his way. We knew early on that he would likely struggle in life. What we didn't realize was that the church would shoulder much of the blame. As a boy, Chris went to church every Sunday with his mother. He loved the times of singing the hymns best of all. He would stand tall next to his mom and share a songbook between them, singing the sacred gospel truth, his clear voice rising and falling with the anthem's notes. Sometimes he would hear his mother's voice adding harmony to his. Chris lived for those moments of musical bliss. He would glance up at her singing with his eyes closed tightly and a half-smile framing her countenance. During these times, he would silently breathe a prayer of thanks to God for allowing him this place of peace and serenity. He felt at home. At age 13, he joined the church choir. From his place in the front row, his tenor voice could make the rafters ring. It seemed everyone loved him, that is, everyone but his dad. His father had little involvement in Chris's life. He rarely came home, and when he did, he was usually drunk. Chris would hide out in an upper room during his visits, trying to avoid the usual beatings. There would always be a shouting match between his mother and him, his father, and Chris would hear every word from his bedroom and from over the kitchen. He knew when the escalating war of words was about to get physical and violent, and he'd fly down the stairs and stand between his mom and dad and attempt to stop the violence from happening. His dad, furious and out of control, would then turn his attention from Chris's mother and unleash it on his son. Chris would take it. He stood tall and would cry through the tears of pain and sorrow. "Is that all? Come on, tough guy." Chris learned to take a punch the hardest way of all. One day I was sitting in the bleachers at the Pony League baseball diamond watching my son on the field of play. I noticed Chris was there leaning against the fence, taking in the action. As he turned away to me, I couldn't help but notice the huge shiner that covered most of his left side of his face. "Wow," I whistled as I took a place beside him. "That's quite the black eye." "It's nothing, Mr. Decker," he replied, turning his face downward. I told him that he shouldn't fight and that there were better ways to settle disputes. "Well, I gotta stand up for what's right," he countered. I thought he'd been in a fist fight with another kid from the block. I never imagined that he'd been defending his own mother. The following Sunday, Chris was not allowed to sing in the church choir. "You look awful," said the director. "No singing for you until the swelling from your face goes down. We can't condone fisticuffs here at our assembly." Over time, the swelling and discoloration faded, but with it, his smile did too. Chris was alone in distress. He would sit in his room for hours, trying to read the King James Bible that he'd received as an award for memorizing verses of Scripture back when he was 10 years old. Once, many years later, when I visited him in prison, he told me how much that Bible meant to him. It was a real leather one, red letter edition, with gold on the edges of the pages. It had my name on the front cover and everything. He'd never forgotten that Bible. I made a promise to replace it someday with a new one. The dam broke in Chris's life on the following summer. He just turned 14, and some well-meaning parishioners from the church offered to pay his way for a week at summer camp. Chris got there from the city and found himself loving the wonders of nature. He made some new friends, but as Chris's luck would have it, he made one enemy as well. It so happened that on the first day of camp, Chris chose a bottom bunk, not knowing that another boy, who was a veteran of many summers, had claimed the spot as his. Not one to back down, Chris instead pushed the irate boy and told him he wasn't moving. That led to the camp director being summoned. Assuming Chris to be the troublemaker, the director placed a call to the pastor at Chris's home church. A day or two later, as Chris was walking up to his cabin after free swim, the director whistled for him to come over and talk to him by the lodge. "I know all about you now," the director said. "I talked with the pastor of your church. I heard you got removed from choir at 2 to a fight. So you better keep your nose clean. You may like to get into fights back home, but we have no black eyes here. I'll send you home to your mother in a heartbeat. I hear your dad's a no-good drunk. You're probably going to be just like him, aren't you?" Chris felt his heart melt in his pounding chest. A small gang of campers had been listening to the whole thing. He turned and ran. He didn't stop until he reached the interstate, where he hitchhiked for 75 miles back to his home. He made up a story to his questioning mother and then ran to the church. He had no plan. He didn't go in. He was too sad and too afraid. So he picked up a rock and threw it at the wooden door. The rock bounced off somewhere, and so did Chris. He's still running today. The other day, I stopped into the restaurant where he works. I brought him a present, a real leather, red-letter edition gold-leaf Bible. I had his name engraved on the cover. I handed it to him, and I knew beyond doubt that his name was also engraved upon my heart. Of all the punches Chris ever took, the hardest blow of all came from the mouth of a pastor. "Come home, my friend, come home. The Father truly loves you, and so do I." I'd like to say that since I wrote that story back a couple of years ago, Chris has come to our church, and he's there every Sunday in the front row next to me with his wife and two daughters. I love him dearly.
This has been Soul Chaser. We hope this program has caused you to consider the vastness of God's love for you. Nothing is going to change that reality, but love can certainly change you. Remember, love is everywhere, and God is love. For more stories with a purpose, pick up a copy of Soul Chaser, Devotions to Anchor the Soul, available on our website, soulchaserbook.com, or find it at amazon.com. This is Jordan Rich for Lauren Decker and Soul Chaser. See you next time.